Well, good evening, church. We've been involved in a series called The Realities, The Seven Realities of Experiencing God Together as a Church. And so tonight we're at reality number four, which is God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. And there's so much in that reality to unpack tonight. But before we begin that, let's review. Let's start where we first began in reality number one. Lori, would you put that up there? God is always at work around you. Psalm 121 says, "The protector of Israel does not slumber." I don't know what that says to you, but it tells me God doesn't have to sleep. God doesn't have to take a breath. God doesn't have to take a break. He never slumbers. He's always at work around us. Jesus said, "The Father has been up working at this point up until now, and I am working too." God is always at work around us, and we need to see what He's doing and join Him. Then we went to reality number two, which is God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real. It's not fantasy. It's real. And not only in its reality, it is personal. It's a personal thing between you and Him. And that's what He desires. John 14:6 says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." He says, there is a condition here. You got to go through me. You got to know me. And I want to know you. And I want to have a personal relationship. Reality number three. God invites you. How welcoming is this? God invites you to become involved with Him and His work. He's not a God that wants us to be robots. He's inviting us to get involved out of our own volition to get involved with Him. What an incredible God we serve. So we come to tonight, reality number four. And we know that God speaks. Let's just stop right there. You've seen in the video, you heard Steve sing tonight. I remember the first time I heard that song, "Word of God Speak," and I prayed about how to set this up, and I asked Steve, "Steve, please sing that song again. It means so much to me, because when I heard that song, I needed it so bad, and I still need to hear God speak in my life in so many places." But let's just start right here. God speaks. That alone should have our ear, that the God of the universe wants to speak. So He speaks. He speaks in different ways. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 is a great passage because it helps us to understand the process and how God has spoken from the beginning of time until now. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. And I'm going to ask you to stand out of reverence for God's Word once you find Hebrews. It's right before James. Sometimes I have a hard time finding Hebrews myself, so I'll wait till I hear the pages stop turning, because I want us all to really focus on this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through Him also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. Roy, would you pray for us as we begin tonight?
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to You reading these words, these powerful words. We ask You to open our hearts and our minds to these words, to recognize, to chew on these words, that we know we can call on them times that we have in our lives that we need. you for this time to study. We ask you to fill Todd with the words that he needs to say. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Roy. So I don't call a lot of things beautiful. There's a lot of pretty things. There's a lot of attractive things. There's a lot of nice things in this world. But there's a few things that I choose to call beautiful. And the first time I heard this song, it tells me and shows me who Jesus is. Remember, in the past, God spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. This message, this song, shows in visual form what I think is the best I've ever seen of how our Son spoke and how He went about His business here on His 33 years and how many days on earth. Watch closely. And by the way, when you hear a good song, don't you turn up the radio? So turn it up. I hope you all like it too.
Washing over my feet. Blessed are you, beggar, hopeless and blind, calling for mercy when I'm passing by. Blessed are you, shaking your head at two tiny fish and some bread. Blessed are you as you tremble and wait for the first stone thrown at your sinful disgrace. Tell me your story. Show me your wounds. And I'll show you what love sees when love looks at you. I'll show you what love sees when love sees you. Blessed are you walking on waves to find yourself sinking. Blessed are you, lepers standing alone. The fear on their faces is all that you've known. Blessed are you, lonely widow, who gave your last shiny coin to Yahweh. Blessed are you with your silver and lies, kissing the one who's saving your life. Tell me your story. I'll show you what love sees when love looks at you. Hand me the pieces broken and bruised, and I'll show you. I came for your wounds. to show you what love sees when I see
to take the pieces of your life and make you new. And he's made a lot of lives new here. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So in the past, God spoke through the prophets. And he also did some other amazing things too. Lori, would you put the slide up there for me? In Genesis 16, he spoke through angels. In Genesis 15, he spoke through visions. In Genesis 28, verses 10 and 19, he used dreams. In 1 Kings 19, he used a gentle whisper. In Exodus 8, he did miraculous signs. Went through all those times when God spoke, the people knew it was him. When he spoke, the person was sure that it was God who spoke. They knew what God said distinctly. And when God spoke, that was the encounter with God. That was the encounter. So today, Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So something even more miraculous has happened. The Holy Spirit came, and Jesus told them, greater things you'll do than I'm doing because I'm going to the Father and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. Now, we as Baptists, denominations do this. They go way this side with the Holy Spirit and they get real spiritual, okay, right? You know, y'all understand what I'm trying to say here? And then there's these other people that are very traditional, we don't want to get out of the box, and us Baptists are somewhere in the middle. But this Spirit thing is real, guys. The Holy Spirit is real. And I hope you will see it more as we go through this tonight. God speaks by the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to John 14:12. Buddy, would you please read John 14:12? Yes, you sure can. Brian, you're sitting next door. Well, yes. Keep going.
Greater work than these they would do because I go to my
Father. Amen. So the Apostle Paul goes on to write after his road to Damascus experience, after he goes and spends time alone with the Lord, preparing himself, time with the disciples, all this goes along, and then he goes and goes on his missionary journeys, and he's anxious to see the church at Corinth, and he writes in 1 Corinthians 3:16 this. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And look at the screen. And God's Spirit dwells in your midst. It's there. Do you understand that? Don't you know that? He's trying to tell the church. And with the church, we're trying to tell the church tonight this through his word. God's trying to say, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Then later on, three verses later in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God, and you're not your own anymore? So the next slide. Let's review what we've learned so far. In the Old Testament, God spoke in many different ways. And in the Gospels, God spoke through His Son. But in Acts and to the present, He speaks by the Holy Spirit. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. So knowing God's voice comes from an intimate love relationship. I've been married 36 years, 9 months, and 17 days. Did I do that right? No, I didn't. Honest to God, I didn't. I was doing the math right here, okay? I was honest to God. Because that's not what I'm trying to tell you. I've been married a long time. And we have an intimate love relationship. And because of that, when I get lost at Kroger trying to find my wife, I know what her cough sounds like. I know what her voice sounds like. I know what my name sounds like when she calls my name. And has anybody ever seen Christmas Vacation? You know the neighbor next door, you know, who sets the big tree up in his house, and every time he messes up, the wife goes, "Todd!" Well, that's kind of the joke in our family with Michelle's family, that whenever I do something, they see Michelle going, "Todd!" Because that was the guy's name. But do you get what I'm trying to say? In a crowd, I can hear my wife. I know where she's at when she coughs, when she speaks, when she says my name. The same should be with this intimate love relationship we have with the Father. When God speaks, we should know when He speaks. It's up to us. He's already done it. He's already doing it. The question is, are we listening? God speaks when He has a purpose in mind for your life. God speaks when He has a purpose in mind for your life. The moment God speaks is the very moment that He wants you to respond. He don't want you to dilly-dally. The moment God speaks is the time that you're supposed to respond. And the moment God speaks to you, listen to me, is God's timing. There may be years go by before you hear the next thing. And you may ask the question, I'm just not hearing anything from God. He's not speaking. He's silent. How many of you have thought God's silent to you at some point in your life? I'm going to give you the best instruction that you probably have never heard. Hopefully you've heard it before. If you're not hearing anything from God, go back and make sure you're doing the last thing He told you to do. How many times have you treated your own child that way? Yeah, I'll give you a piece of candy if you go clean your room. When you come back, well, Dad, can I have a piece of candy? No, go clean your room. God may have told you to go clean your house. He may have told you to clean your house here. God may have told you to do something and you're being disobedient. He's not going to tell you anything else until you did what He's already told you to do. And the only reason I can say that with authority is because I can be rebellious. And I won't always do what He tells me to do and expect Him to do something different. The moment God speaks to you is God's timing. So, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. Years ago, I guess I was maybe 7, I went out to the garage. We had this. In fact, I know I was 7. Because we grew up on this old farmhouse with 80 acres, and we rented a farmhouse on 80 acres, and there was this little dairy barn outside, and I got a motorcycle, and I decided I was going to have a barn for my motorcycle. I wanted to have a little house, you know, clean up, you know, have a place to keep all these things. And it had this nice little ramp that I could ride up, because they used to carry things in for the dairy farmers. So I could ride this ramp up, slide this big open door, and go in there and park my bike. And it even had this little trough along there so that when I changed the oil, it would just drain. I mean, it was perfect. It was great. It was just absolutely perfect. Well, one day I went out there to the shop, and there was a dead animal on the floor. And I went back in, and it was big. It had a big, long tail, and it had a big, long nose, and it was gray. I'm trying to give you hints here. And I went back to Dad and I said, Dad, there's this big, huge rat dead on the floor right by my motorcycle, and I'm not going in there. And he said, come on, I'll go in there with you, son. And he walked in, he said, Dad, whoo, son, that is big. And he said, I tell you what, take that yardstick over there and just poke it a little bit. I said, no, I ain't doing that. And he said, okay, just take that shovel, get over there. I'm not going to touch it, son. Go over and get that shovel and reach under the other and just carry it out. I said, okay. So I go over there with the square point shovel, and I began to pick it up, and I got underneath there, and I picked it up, and all of a sudden it went, ha! It was a possum, and it was playing dead. Scared me to death, and my dad still laughs about that to this day, because he got me, okay? Now, there's a reason I'm telling you that. Go turn in your Bibles now to Hebrews 4:12. And don't look at the screen yet until you find your Bible. Don't cheat on me, okay? For those of you that didn't bring your Bible, bring your Bibles. The Word of God's important. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. So let Him speak. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive. It's not dead. The Word of God is alive. And it's active. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible, you're missing how God primarily speaks today. You're missing the greatest opportunity you have to hear from Him. Now, I've tried to do this the best of my ability. I don't make it every day, but I've made a decision that the first thing my eyes are going to see when I wake up in the morning is the Word of God. And I've tried to make it as easy as possible because I'm lazy in the morning. I am not a morning person. The woman whom I have a loving, intimate relationship will tell you that it is hard to wake the dead in the morning at my house. But I've made this decision. So I have this smartphone beside my bed, and I decide to turn that on and stay in bed and read the Bible for a few minutes before I can get up and get my shower. I want my eyes to see the Word of God first before I see anything else in this day. Because it's alive, it's active, it penetrates, and it judges me. And I need it. So, when the Holy Spirit reveals the truth from the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit reveals the truth from the Bible, He is personally relating to your life. We took a bunch of guys this weekend who had personal things that we could relate to and do something. And it did volumes to bring down walls and barriers. 20 men cried, 20 men got together and let iron sharpen iron and let the Word of God penetrate in us and judge us this weekend. But when God speaks through the Holy Spirit, He reveals the truth from the Bible, and He is personally relating to you in a way that you can understand. He doesn't speak way above you. He doesn't preach over your head. He tries to get to you where He can relate to you. That's why Jesus told parables, so that He could relate to them. And this is the encounter with God. So here is the sequence. Here's what happens. You read the Bible. If it's first thing in the morning, if it's late in the evening, I hope you don't wait till the end of the day to read the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Let the Word of God breathe through you during the day. That's what I'd encourage you. But as you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and will reveal truth. And then you adjust your life to the truth of God. Then you have a choice. Hopefully you will obey Him. And then God works in and through you to accomplish His purposes. That's how the Word of God is used to make a difference. And that's how He speaks. So point four. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible and also prayer. Prayer. Prayer is a two-way fellowship and communication with God. Turn to Mark 9:25-29. Mark 9:25-29. There was a boy with an evil spirit. He was demon-possessed. And we're going to pick up Mark 9, verse 25. Interesting thing happens here. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I've commanded you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out. You saw it in the video. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifting him up to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Jesus, why couldn't we drive him out?" Here's your answer. He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." And some of your translations have something in parentheses. What is it? And fasting. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible and prayer. Here's what elementary prayers are. God, listen to me. I'm petitioning you. We're spiritual. I have these petitions. And then we don't listen. We just keep talking. And we give this list, and then we don't listen. But prayer is a two-way communication that's intimate, and people speak. God speaks, and you have the opportunity to speak. But a lot of times, we need to just be quiet and let God speak first, and then we speak. I love that sign. I love it. Well, the person that we had share from our church tonight was praying about something, and he's going to share his presentation at this point.
One of the most amazing things in Scripture is not how God spoke to prophets, kings, priests, but the fact that He even chose to speak at all. The fact that the God of the universe, this ferocious God that breathed out galaxies, actually chooses to speak to us is amazing in itself. And we know that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. One time, Renee and I were particularly interested in understanding something that was going on in our lives because we could sense that God maybe was going to cause a career change in my life. We weren't sure where that was going to take us, and maybe even thought that was going to be into some sort of Christian ministry. So we decided to sit down one evening and we just poured our hearts out to God, asking Him to give us direction, asking Him and pleading with Him to let us know that we're ready to be obedient. And so the next morning, I received a call from a person, from a man not involved in Christian ministry at all, but he said, "I'm very interested in you coming to work for my company. Are you interested?" I was a little confused because we were seeking another direction, but I said, well, yes, I would be interested in learning more about you. He promised that he'd call me back and contact me later. We didn't know what to think of this, and so we thought about things and prayed. Well, about 6 weeks later, not having heard anything, we thought maybe we're pursuing the wrong thing. Maybe we were pursuing the right thing in the beginning. Beginning looking at a Christian ministry, looking at other opportunities. So we prayed again fervently that God would tell us what it is that He wanted us to do. The next morning, the same guy called me back. He said, "Hey, I want you to know I hadn't forgot about you. Send me a resume." So we were confused again, but we sent the resume. And then for 3 months, we didn't hear anything. We thought again that we pursued the wrong thing, that we're looking at these other things, that we need to be focused on God and maybe what He's wanting to do. So a third time, we got down on our knees before the Lord. And after praying that night, the next day, the man called and said, "We'd like to interview you, Joey. Would you like to come down and interview with us?" You see, God was speaking the whole time. we were taking the time to seek Him, and He was methodically preparing us for something else. Not what we had in mind, but what He had in mind for us to do.
So prayer is important, and God honors prayer in His own timing. And it's interesting to look back and see what God has done, and that's why it's so important to put together a journal. You really need to record your life. It'll be a great legacy to leave your children and your grandchildren, but to write down what you prayed for and how God answered. And it'll be an incredible, incredible thing for them to have faith and courage in later on, because they've seen what God did in your life, and they'll have the faith that He'll do the same in your life, in their life as well. So prayer is important. Just as there's a sequence in God revealing truth through the Bible, there's a sequence in prayer as well. God takes the initiative by causing you to want to pray. When the Holy Spirit leads and puts an unction in you to pray, you better pray, okay? Then the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God while you're praying, and during that time as you're going about through the day praying, and when you study the Word of God, He's going to take that Word of God and reveal to you the will of God. And in the Spirit, you pray in agreement with the will of God. And then you adjust your life to that truth, to God. Then you look and listen for confirmation or further direction from the Bible, circumstances in the church, which is other believers. And then you obey. And God will work in you and through you to accomplish that purpose. He will work in and through you to accomplish that purpose. And then you will experience Him just as the Spirit revealed to you as you prayed. It will come to fruition. So that's how prayer works. So, we'll go to the next step now. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, and circumstances. And keep in mind, the Bible is the primary way that God's going to speak. But the secondarily, He'll speak to you through prayer. Third will be circumstances. Circumstances. Go to Genesis 1:1. I'll tell you what, go to Genesis 1:26. Let's just skip that because we're running short on time. Genesis 1:26. Somebody read it. That one's not going to take you hard long to find. Adam, what's Genesis 1:26 say? And God said, let us make man in our image. Now go to John 5:17. Would you put that up for us, please? Jesus said to them, my Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. Jesus was telling the disciples the very same thing that was revealed to man in the very beginning. God's at work, and Jesus was there from the beginning, and He's doing His thing too. It's an amazing thing. The circumstances that are going on is God's work. Okay, there's evidence of it. John 5:19-20 says, Jesus gave him this answer, very truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing by Himself, for He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because wherever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He does. Yes, and He will show Him even greater things than these, so that you're going to be amazed. And we've all been amazed at what He's done. So, Here's a good thing that I think everyone should write down. When circumstances are going on, you can't know the truth about your circumstance until you've heard from God. Circumstances out of your control, things that you didn't see coming, things that seem unfair, things that just, what in the world have I just been hit with? You cannot know the truth of your circumstance until you hear from God. Please write that down. Please memorize that, because you're going to be hit with something this week or this month, and this is going to come true. You can't know the truth of your circumstance until you've heard from God. So, when circumstances are confusing, here's what you need to do. Settle in your own mind that God has forever demonstrated His absolute love for you, and He did it on the cross. and that love's never going to change. Number two, don't try to understand what God is like from the middle of your circumstance. When you're in the middle of it, you're in the thick of it, and it's just like you're just about to get overwhelmed and you don't know what to do, don't try to understand what God is like during that. Remember, maybe in the past, what He's done, and start reading the Word of God, and then maybe you'll begin to see some things. Go to God and ask Him to help you see His perspective. Have you ever been somewhere down in a street, down or whatever, and then you've gotten up on a roof and looked down? What's the difference when you're in the middle of something and you get above it? What's the difference? Perspective. It looks completely different from above, doesn't it? Absolutely different. Google Earth is awesome. My house looks completely different above than it does in the middle of the mess. I'm telling you, it does. And it shows how God has had a plan for planting us right where we're supposed to be 25 years ago. Don't try to understand what God is like in the middle of your circumstance. Go to God and ask Him to help you see His perspective on your situation. Number four, wait. Wait on the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He may take the Word of God to help you understand your circumstances. Number five, adjust your life to God to what you see Him doing in your circumstances. And do all that He tells you to do. Don't do part of it. You know, when you told your child to go make the bed, that meant like pull all the covers up and put all the pillows on in the right way and, you know, pull all the sheets, you know, tight. I make my bed every day. I'm sorry. It drives me nuts. I cannot stand seeing a house. Are you right? Am I right? If she don't make the bed, I will. You know, if the kids don't make their bed, if I don't make them, I'll go make it for them. It just drives me crazy. I got to have a made bed. It's just a thing. But anyway, you get what I'm trying to say? Do all that God tells you to do, because that's what He expects. And then you'll experience working God in and through as you accomplish His purposes. So, let me tell you about circumstances. In 1977, I gave my life to the Lord. And the pastor, I was saved during a youth revival. And the next Sunday, the pastor, I thought I was in trouble already. The pastor came up to me and he said, "Todd, I bought this Thompson Chain Reference Bible for my wife. And the Lord told me that I'm not supposed to give it to her, I'm supposed to give it to you." Now, I had no clue what a Thompson Chain Reference Bible was. I had no clue what it costs. I had no clue that it was a genuine leather Bible. I had no clue the gift that it was. Now, this isn't the Thompson Chain Reference Bible because I wore it out. And I was only home for about 30 minutes today, and I forgot to grab it on the way back. But I wore that Bible out, and then when I surrendered to the ministry, years later, I purchased another one in an NIV, and I wore it out. And Corey Williams threw it across the room and busted it, and I kept using it for a long time anyway. And when Pastor Mike came here, he knew someone in Colorado Springs that could rebind my Bible and put it in an unbelievable cowhide leather, and I treasure this Bible as well. But what I'm trying to say is there were some circumstances that were going on in my life that I had no clue about. And the pastor had no clue why God told him to give me this Bible. But early in my youth ministry, I would give my Bible out because kids would forget to bring their Bible to class. I don't know if that happens all the time. But anyway, so I passed it out, and I remember them saying, "Why do you have pentagrams in your Bible?" I said, "Because I like that verse." "But why did you write pentagrams?" I said, "I didn't know what they were. I just liked a star with a circle around it. That was important to me." It didn't matter, but that Bible was important to me. And I still have that up in my study, and I still refer to it a lot of times because all my study notes and all the stuff in the back is there. But that was a circumstance that God was speaking through a pastor, speaking to me that I was going to need this, and this was important. To this day, I've never given a kid or an adult a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's $100 and some, you know, to buy. Isn't it $100 plus? I mean, it was expensive in that day, and it's expensive to this day. That gift, I'm still blown away that it was given to me. Later on in my life, Bill Scott came in, and he was a pastor. He said, "Todd, you need to give your life, surrender your life to Christian ministry." "No, I'm going to be a music executive, and I'm going to go to school, do this beach aircraft thing, test airplanes, have fun with that until my groups get going. I had this whole plan. I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And I almost had a midlife crisis at 30 because I didn't. I'm just being honest. Jerry Badness, my student minister, said, Todd, you need to surrender to Christian ministry. No, I got plans. I'm going to marry Michelle and I'm gonna set the world on fire. Got lots of plans. C.M. Howell comes to First Baptist Towanda, and he gets these sheets of paper that's a pilot program called Experiencing God, and we're supposed to test this out for Lifeway. And so I start getting these realities, and I'm starting to write down what God's saying to me as I'm studying the Word of God, and C.M. Howell, the pastor, says, you need to surrender to Christian ministry, Todd. God's calling you. No, he's not. No, he's not. Well, God called him after we left, and he went to teach Experience of God in Folsom Prison and the California Baptist Convention. And he came back and said what all God was doing, amazing things with this Experience of God thing. So C.M. Howell leaves, and Rick Weber comes, the next pastor. Todd, you need to surrender to Christian ministry. God's calling you. No, he's not. 12 years I ran from God. Jerry Vadness told me, Bill Scott told me, Randy Drake told me, C.M. Howell told me, Rick Weber told me. And finally in 1992, the Holy Spirit in flesh in my life, my wife, says, Todd, when are you going to quit running from God and surrender to the ministry? And a whole chain of circumstances that I have no time to tell you tonight was going on. I knew by then, with all those circumstances, that God was doing something. And so I went and talked to John Compton. I booked a date on Sunday, said, I need to talk to you, Dr. Compton. And he said, how about lunch over there at the Mexican restaurant in the plaza over there on Tuesday at 11:30? I said, okay. Well, something happened between Sunday and Tuesday at 11:30. And the church needed to get a full-time student minister and a full-time music minister. The church was growing to the point we needed to do something. And so they'd made a decision at 10:30 that morning before the 11:30 appointment to find a youth minister, to find an interim youth minister, and to move Chip full-time. And so I go to this lunch, and I start telling everything, all the circumstances that are going on in my life. And John Compton says, well, Todd, this is really interesting, because 1 hour ago, we just made this decision to start looking for an interim youth minister, and you're telling me that all these people told you that you need to surrender to the ministry and work with students. He says, I need a resume, Joey. I need a resume. But it wasn't 3 months, and it wasn't all these things going on. I hurry up and get a resume that day and take it into his office. And within 9 days, I'd had a meeting with the personnel committee, the chairman of the deacons and the deacon officers, and the staff, and there was a church vote nine days later, and I was an interim student pastor at this church. Now, before we moved to Tennessee, Giant Records executive David Huff says, Todd, you're not moving from Kansas to Tennessee for the music business. Jesus done left the music business a long time ago in Nashville. God's sending you to Nashville to be a minister. I said, no, he's not. No, he's not. Well, he was. And that'll be 25 years ago, May 19th of next year. And the reason I can sit here with authority and tell you that God will speak in the middle of circumstances is if I had time to tell you, and I don't because it's way past time, when circumstances are flooding over you like you have no clue what is going on, shut up and listen and pray and read the Word of God, and God will speak. I promise you. And I'm not leaving this church until God does something that miraculous again. Just so I tell you. And it'll be miraculous because only God's going to do it. God's in control of my life. And He's in control of every pastor's life in this church. So, circumstances. Very truly I say to you, John 5, 19 through 20, the Father can do nothing by Himself. I'm busy working. You can't hear the truth of God in the middle of your circumstance until you've heard from God. The last thing here, go to Never Ever. Never ever determine the truth of a situation by only looking at the circumstances. God's got to back it up and he's got to speak in all these different directions as well. Number six, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Ephesians 4:11-16 said, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers." He gave all those things, those are gifts, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity. All those gifts are there so that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. I love that verse. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. We're going to hear from God, not people. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is Christ, the head of the church. And the rest you all know. Go to the next slide. The church is a body, and it's the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is present as the head of the local church. Pastor Mike isn't the head of this church. The deacons aren't the head of this church. And none of the pastors of this church are the head of it. Jesus Christ is present as head of the local church. Every member is placed in the body as it pleases God. You may not like that. Every member is placed in this body as it pleases God. He's the one that does the work. God made us mutually interdependent, and we need each other. Apart from the body, you and I cannot fully know God's will for my relationship to the body. If I cut my finger off, or something cuts my finger off, and it goes over here, theoretically. Sounds nasty, but if it goes over here. Apart from the body, you and I cannot fully know God's will for my relationship. That finger cannot know what to do if it's not attached to my hand. It'll just sit there. When a person leaves the church and doesn't get in communion with the family, that's where it really gets messed up. Apart from the body, a Christian cannot fully know God's will for their relationship to the body. Every member needs to be listening to what the other members are saying. You may not like that. Every member needs to be listening to what the other members are saying. Leadership needs to listen to every member and see what they're saying as well. Because we all, if we're listening to God, then we have something to say. And as I function in relationship with the church, I depend on others in the church to help me understand God's will as well. All those people help me understand God's will and my calling. And I'll never forget that. So, last thing, God speaks to the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstance of the church to reveal himself. Okay? Go to when God speaks by the Holy Spirit to you about his name and his character. Do you see that slide, Lori? It's like two or three down. I'm trying to hurry. I prepared way too much. I'm sorry. Okay. When God speaks by the Holy Spirit, he often reveals to him something about himself. He's going to reveal his name, his nature, and his character. Now, let me briefly tell you about that. What about his name? 949 names and titles of God are in the Bible. 949. He's going to reveal each of those names to you as you listen and study. He's going to reveal his nature. What's the nature of God? He's sovereign. He's holy. He's omniscient. He's unchanging. He's wrathful. And he's loving. Now, he also is going to reveal his character. What is his character? Well, his character is this. He has all knowledge. He's absolute truth. He's faithful. He's just. He's righteous. He's love. He's merciful. And he's an indwelling spirit. All those things is what he's going to reveal. Number eight, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself and his purposes. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to the servants, the prophets." God is not going to do anything without revealing it to the church and to the people. And number nine, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through Bible, prayer, circumstances, the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and lastly, his ways. Isaiah 55:8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways." God's not going to do here what he's doing in another church. Why would he? He don't need to. He wants to have a loving, intimate relationship with us as individuals and as a body. And he wants to do something different here than he does somewhere else. He just does that. He does amazing things. And so we can't plan or organize or scheme something for God. We've got to let God do his thing through us. And you said this weekend, Adam, I don't even know what to pray for. I need to be praying to pray what to pray for. Isn't that pretty much what you said? That's the truth, that God revealed that to you this weekend, and I think that's great. So God uses kingdom principles to accomplish kingdom purposes, and God reveals his ways to us because they are the only way to accomplish his purposes. So with all that, I know that was a lot, and it's time to go. I'm going to lead us in just a little bit of prayer. I want you to pray with me together, church, about these things. So would you just spend about 30 seconds to a minute praying over these things, please. Ask the Father to open your ears and to open this church's ears to hear him speak. Would you pray that right now? Would you please pray for God to speak to us through his word, through the word that is taught and preached and read during your devotions. Ask him to speak to you during those times. Ask the Father to speak to us by the Holy Spirit in our times of prayer this week, in the days ahead. Now ask the Father, what are you saying to us through the circumstances here in this church and the circumstances in our individual lives? Now ask the Lord to open your heart for a fresh revelation of himself. Now ask him for a fresh revelation of yourself, your condition. And finally, ask the Lord to show you his purposes and his ways. Father, I thank that you speak, and that you speak in so many incredible, sincere ways. Father, I pray that you will speak in a way to this church that we have no doubt what you've said, why you said it, and what we are supposed to do in order to accomplish your purpose and your ways in this county, this state, this country, and this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you. Sure. So we're going to close tonight with an invitation. You may be considering joining this church. You may have been coming here a long time and the Lord's revealed to you tonight or revealed to you this week that you need to unite with this fellowship. Maybe there is a decision that God's been calling you to do something for a long time and finally you're going to surrender like I did. I don't know, but this invitation time is for you. I'm asking you to respond to the Holy Spirit's call. Let's all stand.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak.